Welcome, everybody, to the Lachlan Shire Council meet for the 23rd of November, the ordinary meeting. And thank you for your attendance. And we have people in the room and also on Zoom today. And Councillor Mortimer and Councillor Bartholomew. Who else? We've got Robbins there and also John Gilletto from. And Councillor Blewett, we've got her turn. We haven't got her photo up there because she's having a few troubles with the sound. So we'll see how we go with that one. And just before we do start there, today we're still in the midst of a flood right across the Lachlan Valley. From Doblin, I think hopefully we've passed the peak today, I think. So there's a lot more water, less water there than when I was here on Monday. But I'd like to just thank all the agencies and the SES for what's been happening around here. And I've got to mention the Great Wall of Doblin, because it was a community effort and volunteers, etc. That's certainly been taken up by the newsreels and everything right around the state. So I think we've just not only we've got Utes in the paddock, but we've got the Great Wall of Condo now. So we'll see what happens there. But anyway, hopefully we're going to pass, and we've got our feelings for you. You have along down there, and Lake Jellicoe as the water moves down. Hopefully we can end up with a few more fine days and get this out of the way. We can get on with what we do normally in life. But it's certainly been an interesting 4 or 5 months anyway. All right. The first item is webcasting. Please note that today's meeting, other than the confidential sessions, are being recorded and will be placed on Council's website. All in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Council takes the care when maintaining privacy. However, members of the public gallery and those addressing Council should be aware that you may be recorded. So the next item is the acknowledgement of country and elders. I'd like to ask Councillor David Carter if you'd like to do the welcome. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. As a proud Wiradjuri person, I'd like to welcome everybody for the November morning meeting of the Lachlan Shire Council here at the Chambers in Doblin. I'd like everybody to also acknowledge that the Wiradjuri are the traditional owners and the custodians of the land in which we meet today. And I'd like everybody to take a moment's silence or a minute's silence as we pay our respect to our elders, past and present, and emerging. So you can all join me for a minute's silence, please. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, councillors and observers. Just add that it is customary at the beginning of our meetings on Wiradjuri land to actually have that minute's time to observe a minute. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carter. Moving on to apologies and requests of leave of absence from this particular meeting. And I think we have Councillor Bendall.
Councillor Bendall's requested leave of absence.
We don't know about Councillor Phillips.
I haven't heard from Councillor Phillips.
So I'll say he'll end up coming on.
I'll move that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Brady. Second up for the Councillor Carter. All right, all those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That is carried. Confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting on the 26th of October 2022. Would someone like
to? I'll move that way, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Harris.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Brady. All those in favour? Those against, and that is carried. So everyone on Zoom there can hear me, can they? Megan? Judith? Yep. All right. Moving right along to page 20, Merrill Minute, the Merrill Meeting Functions, for meeting and functions in November. The list there, would someone like to move
that way?
Harris, second. Yep. Councillor Brady, no comments on all those.
Just endorsing your thing on the road funding. After the last few weeks, you probably need a lot more of it.
I think we've only just started. The question was asked.
A long way to go. That I think million they talked about. Looking at pretty so many potholes.
Yeah, we're supposed to have got a payment in there on Friday, I think, which apparently is only just the start. But we've got to get out and see what we've got yet.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be ongoing for quite a long time. No question about that. All right, there's no more on the functions. That's sort of thing. All right, all those in favour?
Aye.
As against, that's carried. Now to page 21, 5.2, Merrill Minute, Declaration of Statewide Road Emergencies. Would someone like to
move that way?
Councillor Harris, second. Yeah. Councillor Carter. All right, if there's any questions on what we've put down there, as you can see, it is a natural disaster. And I don't think we've actually been declared a natural disaster yet.
No, we
have.
Yeah.
So that opens up the door for everything that we may get and may not get, that even prime producers and especially our road network will scan.
Can I ask the question? Prime producers get money. What about normal business people?
I'm understanding that you can apply.
Okay. I'm just wondering, because, you know, that they're affected as well because of the people can't get in to do business.
Yeah.
They're not making money as well.
I think you'd have to look at the criteria to exactly what you can apply for and what you can't, but I know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And the small, I've got a funny feeling like someone from the small business area was talking about that this morning, actually. So hopefully there's something going to happen along those lines, but we'll follow it up anyway.
And just on that, Mr. Mayor, can I just say, if there's any like COVID, small business was only eligible if you had a payroll tax of in excess of $75,000, so the majority of small businesses missed out altogether.
Yeah, missed out.
I'd suggest it's the same.
Yeah. Something we can bring up with a few of our meetings and that sort of thing, and see how we go, because I'll be very surprised if not something. Yeah.
Well, you know, often the farmers, and that's fair enough, get money, but they forget about their other people who support farming who don't get, you know.
Still, it's not easy for the farmers to get it.
Yeah. No, the criteria's never been.
Yeah. That's in favour?
All right.
Yes, that's carried.
Join us.
That's missed. Join us. Oh, Leanne Smith. All right. Do you want to, Karen, do you want to introduce Leanne?
Yeah, thank you. Hi, we've got Leanne Smith from Intentis. Intentis are Council's external auditors. And Leanne's on today to present the results of our financial statements. To talk about the report on the conduct of the audit and also the elephant in the room, which is the Red Fleet Rural Service fire assets. So Leanne's already presented to the ARAC this morning. So thanks, Leanne. Take it away.
Okay. I just wanted to share my screen. Think. Can everyone see that? Is that the council presentation coming up on everybody's screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Excellent. Good. I'm not very good at this, so that's good. All right. Thank you very much for the introduction, Karen. As she mentioned, I'm just here to present to council on the results of the audit and the report on the conduct of the audit that is issued by the New South Wales Audit Office. So our firm, Intentis, we're actually the audit service provider. So we're engaged by the New South Wales Audit Office to conduct the actual work on council's financial statements on their behalf. Okay, so probably don't want to spend too much on this. There's just a couple of introductory slides regarding some of the focus areas of the New South Wales Audit Office going forward. There already was a focus after the last probably 2 or 3 years on emergency response and natural disaster recovery, and there was also a focus on cybersecurity. Notwithstanding what has happened in both those areas in the last probably 2 or 3 months even. That was already planned to be a continued focus area, so I can only imagine it's only going to continue. There are some planned work programs going ahead, looking into effectiveness of financial management and governance, cybersecurity, and a few other areas out to 2025, which haven't been scoped as yet, but they're just sort of earmarked as areas that potentially will be looked at. And again, focus areas for the report to Parliament next year will be cybersecurity, IT general controls and asset management. Again, continuing themes from previous years. So, and I'm happy, Mr. Mayor, if the councillors have queries on the way through, I'm happy to take them on the way through. I probably should have mentioned that at the start, rather than wait to the end. So just let me know.
Right, Leanne, we've actually got was from councillors here, but also there's councillors on Zoom as well. So
yes,
if they want to ask questions, so we'll make sure that.
No worries.
Right, thanks, Leanne.
Okay, so the elephant. There was a qualification of council's audit report this financial year as a result of the non-recognition of the Rural Fire Service assets. So this is considered to be a limitation of scope. We also didn't have a value on those assets, so it wasn't able to be quantified. And Lachlan, along with a number of other councils, quite a number of other councils in New South Wales, have had modifications made to their audit report off the back of disagreement, essentially, about the accounting treatment for Rural Fire Service assets. And when we talk about Rural Fire Service assets, we're only talking about Red Fleet. So we're not talking about buildings or land or anything like that. No disagreement about the accounting treatment of those. It's only the Red Fleet, which is the firefighting units. And basically, as it was described to me, anything with wheels on it. So that's that one. Does anybody want to have discussion about that, bearing in mind I'm the messenger and not the ultimate decision maker? And that, yeah, the AO obviously has its position that it believes has been supported by a legal opinion that has been obtained. And as we're fully aware, local government and Lachlan Council have a different opinion about where control of these assets rests. No? Everyone's happy. Excellent. All right.
Enjoy it.
Okay, so current year, generally council's assets are on, I guess, an indexation or revaluation cycle, where each asset category has to be revalued at least once every 5-year period in full. This year it was the turn of water and sewer assets, so there was a full revaluation of them conducted this year, which saw another $1.1 million added to council's asset value and also the asset revaluation reserve. Off the back of the significant increases in underlying costs for construction over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, there has always been a requirement under the accounting standards for entities to assess whether the fair value of their assets, if they were revalued today, is materially consistent with what's in the books. It was determined, and again, this was across New South Wales, that there was a risk that there was a material variation given the large increase in underlying costs in the last period. So there were other items of infrastructure, property, plant, equipment, which were indexed this year using indices that were generally in all cases publicly available, primarily from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. That saw another $49.5 million added to council's asset values. So all up, $50.6 million increase in the value of assets. And obviously going forward, that will have an impact on council's depreciation expense.
Mm.
The other item this year, again, council's had significant grant funding that's come in this year. That's evident in the cash flow statement where there's significant cash flows from grants and contributions, but also not all of the work that is required under those funding agreements has been able to be completed for various reasons. And so there has been an increase in the contract liability balance this year as well, which is sitting up around $12 million this year compared to about $5 million last year. Okay. So council had a result from operations for the year of $23.8 million compared to $14 million the year before. As you can see, the bulk of that has come through from that increase in grants and contributions, which has gone up from just over $29 million last year to $40 million this year. Before capital, so if we exclude the impact of capital grants and contributions, then council had a result of $3.9 million surplus, which is consistent with the prior year. In terms of revenue, so I guess just breaking it down and having a bit of a look at where those movements have occurred. Revenue was just over $59 million this year, up from $48 in 2021. A large contributor to that was $8.7 million in capital grants and contributions, which was to do with the drought security project. And then over on the far right-hand side, there was another just over $800,000 adjustment in relation to the reassessment of council's remediation provisions. In terms of expenditure, so operating expenditure was $35.2 million compared to $34.2 the year before. There hasn't been a big change or anything sort of significant flowing out of that. Obviously, given that the bulk of the movement in revenue is off the back of capital grants and contributions, the expenditure relating to those tends to go to the balance sheet to infrastructure, property, plant and equipment rather than through the P&L. As I mentioned, there was $3.9 million operating result before capital and $23.8 after capital for the council as a whole. This slide is just probably breaking that down a little bit into general fund, which had a result of 16.2, water fund had a result of 17.7, and sewer had a deficit of 204. Probably the important thing to note with that $7.7 million surplus after capital for water fund, $8.7 million of that was related to that drought security project grant. So if that had been included, water fund actually likely would have incurred a deficit of around $1 million for the year. And there we go. If we exclude the impact of capital grants and contributions, so general fund was sitting at a $5.4 million surplus, water fund $1.3 million deficit, and sewer fund with a $227,000 deficit. Council's cash and cash equivalents and its investments were up this year from 55.4 last year to 68.7. Importantly, the bulk of that increase is attributable to grants and contributions, which are restricted until they're spent. Again, you can see here there was about $5.2 million increase in external restrictions. Again, this is probably just a view of breaking that investment figure down by fund. So general fund has increased a little bit, but as I mentioned, a lot of that is restricted. Water fund and sewer fund are both generally tracking along around the same level from year to year and have been for some time. Okay, so in the financial statements, and in your financial statements, it's note G4-1, are a number of performance indicators that are mandatory reporting for local government. One of these is the operating performance ratio, So what this looks at is where the council has been able to contain its operating expenditure within its operating revenue. So it's excluding the impact of capital grants and contributions and a few other adjustments. So what that is saying, the benchmark for that is zero. So basically the OLG is expecting that councils will achieve a break-even position. Lachlan has been above that ratio, that benchmark of zero for the last few years. So that ratio at the end of 2022 was actually sitting at just over 11%. The unrestricted current ratio is looking at how much capacity council has to pay its short-term obligations or short-term debts. So it's looking at how many unrestricted assets does council have to service its unrestricted liabilities. So the benchmark for this is 1.5 and council is currently sitting at 5.52, which is a little bit down on prior years, but still well above that benchmark. Rates and annual charges outstanding ratio. I'd have to say, based on what I'm seeing, the fact that Lachlan's is under the 10% benchmark for regional and rural councils is really good to see. A number of councils have seen this ratio increase over the last couple of years off the back of concessions that were granted in terms of debt repayment during COVID, where council was effectively not pursuing ratepayers as for outstanding rates and annual charges. So even though it has gone up a little bit since last year, again, the fact that it's still below that benchmark of 10% is a really good result. So it was actually sitting at 9.32%. Infrastructure, property, plant and equipment. So in the financial statements, council's, additions to its infrastructure assets is broken down between renewals, so renewals on existing assets and then new asset additions. So this year there's been $5.2 million in renewals and $25.6 million in new additions. That was all I specifically needed to touch on, but I'm happy to take any questions if anybody's got any. But before that, I'd probably just like to say a big thank you to Karen Pegler and also Tanya McCallum for the work that they put in preparing for the audit and also answering queries from myself and my staff. It's really appreciated when clients get back to us relatively quickly, obviously within the constraints of the normal day-to-day work that they've got to do. So again, big thank you to them for it. But otherwise, I'm happy to take any other questions that anybody has, Ms. Baird.
Anyone got any questions for Leanne? I've just got one. It's with the asset revaluation, because the matter went because it did the sewer and water. It's a 5-year rotation, so is that sort of too long? Because I can see things going up a hell of a lot in 5 years, and that's going to just go against us when it comes to depreciation, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. That was part of the reasoning behind the indexation, because there was a concern that maybe given the movement over the last year, sort of 12 to 18 months in some of these costs, that maybe the revaluations were getting a little bit long in the tooth, whereas we hadn't previously had that environment for quite some time. So there will be a full revaluation required every 5 years, but there will be a requirement to reassess that indexation each year as well. So that should keep things moving so that when you do have a revaluation, there's not as big a spike coming forward.
All right. Thanks for that.
Can I ask a question?
You certainly can, Councillor Brady.
If the RFS assets come the way that the government wants them to go, what difference does that make to us?
One of the issues with the RFS assets, are you talking in terms of dollar figures?
Dollar figures and also the revaluation of everything.
Yep. So one of the issues was that council didn't actually have a dollar figure. So I can't sort of speculate as to what that dollar figure might be. And there are all sorts of reasons which, you know, Karen would have a better handle on than me, but there were reasons why you didn't have a number, and it wasn't necessarily just council. You obviously got to get the information from the people who are you obviously had some information from the RFS to facilitate that. So we don't have a dollar figure. So that was one of the issues. But from a conceptual point of view, what would happen is those assets would be brought onto council's books, and the depreciation expense would be running through council's books as well.
Yeah, because we've got no idea what the value is, do we?
No, no.
Absolutely zero.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got to let it play out anyway.
Yeah.
Because as we know, like most of the council, regional councils are, you know, up, you know, sort of against it.
Yeah.
But we're standing our ground.
So when we get a letter from the person in the office.
Certainly the last list I saw of lodgements before the end of October, I think there were 20, 25 councils that had modified opinions issued at that time because of RFS assets. And I do know there are a lot of councils with extensions, so I suspect that number will grow.
All right. Any more questions, Sue? Leanne? I'd just like to welcome our Deputy Mayor, Paul Phillips from Lake Angelico. He's come online, and I think he's got a question for you, Leanne.
Been there a little while, Johnny. Thank you. Yes, totally, mate. If you just go back to that last slide, I missed a bit. Like the renewals, 5 million, 25 million. If you just float through that again, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. So council spent $5.2 million on improving existing assets.
Point taken, Leanne. I've got it now. Thank you.
Yep. Whereas the 25.6 are brand spanking new assets that didn't exist previously.
Thank you very much, Leanne. Yep.
Any further questions? I think you've done them in, Leanne. You've done a very good report by the sound of it.
Excellent.
Answered all the questions. I'd like to thank you too, especially from the ARIC this morning and that sort of thing, the way you've come across to us. I think it's absolutely great. And also to our staff.
Yep, definitely. All right, thank you very much. Stay dry and enjoy the rest of your meeting. All right, then.
Yeah. No, thanks, Leanne.
Bye.
Thanks, Leanne.
Right. I'll just reiterate what I've just said there because, yeah, look, you've got your statements in on time a bit earlier than we have some seen in the past and that sort of thing, but I know the amount of work you put in 10 years has been unbelievable, and the whole crew, and it's all working together. And no, thank you very much because that's what keeps our head above water, which is absolutely great. All right. Well done. All right. I think we're going to cook. We should have, before Leanne come on there, we should have moved out of council and
the public forum.
So we've just put it in the public forum, so that'll cover that. All right, now moving along to, we're on page 23, disclosures of interest. I think if there's anyone, I think we've only got one.
Two.
Councillor Blewett has got one, and Councillor Carter has got one too.
And I've got one too, Mr. Mayor.
And it sounds like Councillor Brady has one too.
8.6 Youth Services Report as a member of...
You've got it. Don't fill that bit of paper.
I didn't get a bit of paper.
On your desk, isn't it?
It should be on your desk.
Underneath your pay.
Under here, is it? Oh, okay.
Look after you, Councillor Brady.
Oh, I didn't even.
Neatly stacked.
Neatly stacked. I'm not used to that.
Don't believe that. Not here.
And she has a hard time looking down.
Right. Moving along to page 24. Now, would someone like to move that? If I can find it. Oh, I can get back to that. Is there any of these reading? Page 24.
Yeah. Yeah.
someone like to move? Is there any of those items in there for reason notes that you want to go away?
I've got two.
You got two? Right.
Yep.
Which ones are they?
8.8 active resolutions and 8.9 roadworks.
And no, we'll just pull those out. So,
right, we'll pull those out. So, the rest,
any other reports?
Any other reports you want to take out to go over? If not, so
8.1 to 8.7.
All right, 8.1 to 8.7. There's so a motion to move that over.
I've moved that one,
Councillor Harris. Seconded.
Yeah, second that.
Councillor Carter. All those in favour? All those against? Those carried. Now we go to
8.8.
You discussed all.
Yeah. Seen that mover and seconded for 8.8.
All right. Mover and a seconded for 8.8. Someone up there on the Zoom.
I'll move it.
Second. Who is that? Councillor Blewett and seconded Councillor Bartholomew. Right, 8.8.
I've got a question on that.
Right, there you go, Councillor.
Just in regards to the active resolutions on page 15, where it talks about the Lake Angelico mobile childcare. The last update was in May 22. Do we have any more relevant information?
I'll get Karen give an answer.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Blewett. No, unfortunately, we've not. We still continue to chase the TAFE manager, who is located in another town. We have got on to another gentleman who is looking for us to look at the lease, and we've asked him to follow up internally, and we've said, well, the reason why we can't look any further is we're not able to get in responses on these types of issues. So, unfortunately, no further advance on that.
All right. Does that answer your question, Councillor Blewett?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions on that item, 8.8? If not.
Thanks, Dennis.
So all those in favour?
Five.
All right. Those against, that is carried. Now we go to 8.9. Right. Does someone like to move that?
Yep.
Councillor Lewis, Ruiz, and second up.
Yep.
Mr. Harris. All right. Who's got a question on that 8.9? Give us Dennis.
I do.
All right. Yep. Councillor Blewett.
It's more of a statement, really. I just want to reiterate my thanks to both the management and the crews who came out to Bimbella Road to help fix it or do some jobs to it prior to the flooding. And I just want to say a thank you because you did try your best to make it better for Bimbella Road users.
Right, any more? I think it's nice to hear a good story that Councillor Reece.
Oh, I just had a general question that was posed to me. The vehicles that had bypassed road closed signs where fines were then issued and evaded the damage to the roads or required rescue, do the fines for that come back to the local council to facilitate repairs on those roads, e.g. B doubles that are bogged in the middle of roads that they shouldn't have been on and things like that? Or does that just go into the general state government?
General state government.
Cool. It
just goes collected by Department of Revenue or the Revenue Office, goes into the state government funding. We get it back through our block grant and our Roads to Recovery, the other state government programs.
Fabulous.
We might get it back.
We might get it
back. goes back in the big site.
Sorry, I've got another question, if I may, too.
Yes, Councillor Blewett.
I'm sorry, I've been isolated for a little bit. So I'm just wondering, how's the Palestine Road repairs coming? Because there are some people out that way that might be getting close to getting onto their paddocks to do harvesting and may need to get trucks out that road.
I'd just ask Adrian Mill to answer that one because I think he's had a few questions on that.
Yeah, fingers on the pulse, Councillor. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The A number of residents out there have started harvesting, and a number of them have contacted me about the road conditions. We did some repairs there yesterday to try to repair the largest of the failures, and that road was reopened yesterday, and the trucks are using.
Thank you, Director. Can I also ask what's happening with the top end of Bimbella Road? I understand the bottom end is out, but it, what about the top end?
I'll get Adrian to see if he can cover that one again.
To clarify, when you say top end, you mean eastern end?
Sorry, the one that joins up to Palestine Road end.
I'll have to take that on notice, Councillor. I'll get back to you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Again, there'll be a lot of, there's a fair few farmers out there that may need to access that road for harvest if they get going.
Right. I think Adrian's taken note on that, and I think the council is actually doing their best to try and make most requests and go out and check them, and if they can do minor repairs, and because it's getting, as you say, a very critical time when it comes to harvest, and people are starting today. And they'll be a bit edgy, I'd say. So we can only do the best we can, and down the track. So we just hope they use a bit of common sense also, that they don't muck it up for everybody else. We'll see how we go. All right. Any more questions, Councillor Blewett? On the...
No, thank you.
Right. Since you, I know you whacked them all in one big thing, but on the iPart, I was reading what Karen and her stuff done on that iPart, and I have to commend that the amount of work that much has put into it, because
Dennis, it is out of order. We can bring it up after, but we've just got to deal with one more of each one. There's
we'll
get the next one.
We've got to put the motion if no other questions.
There's no more questions. It was an 8.9. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those gents, that is carried. So that's the end of that one.
Yeah.
What page you have to now? That lost it.
Page 59.
Oh. 59, right. Decision reports.
That's what we're moving on to.
Right. And the first one now is a general manager's got nil.
One, we're all in written note.
They're all in written note. All righty. Now 9.2, we're going to corporate and community services, and the first one is adoption of the annual report in order to find the statements of the year at the end of the 30th of June 22. Move, Councillor Harris. Seconded. Councillor Rees. All right. Any questions there? You need to send out anything, or is Karen like to put a few points together?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just to let councillors know, we did not receive any public submissions on the financial statements. We did say in the minutes that, well, in the report that we would table them today if there was any, but just to let you know, we didn't receive any.
All right. Any more questions on that? If not, all those. All right. Greg, just like to make a comment.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I know it's said earlier by the Mayor, but. Karen and her team did do a fantastic job with the statements, and I wanted to thank them in the meeting part of this report for the work they did, supported by other staff as well. But it's pleasing that we continue to get these statements in on time and meet our statutory obligations. Reflects well on council, so well done.
Very, very good. All right, there's no further questions there. All those in favour? Those against? Those carried? Right, moving on now to page 63, 9.2, donations. Would someone like to move the recommendation?
I move.
Now, Councillor Harris, was it? Councillor Carter? And you second or first?
Moved.
You moved it and second up? Councillor Rees. All right. The first one is the Lake Fragelico School.
It's only the one.
Oh, it's only the one there, isn't it?
Only one?
Yep.
But there's the motion to say all schools, isn't it?
All happy with that?
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, can I just say
Yes, Carter.
Said something and It's been $100 since 2017. We're giving us nearly 2023 now. But could we increase that? Like, I mean, it's everything else has gone up. I would have thought that the schools could be probably looking for $120, $150 or something, or rather. I think it would be time to lift it up a little bit with inflation and everything else.
Well, you want to move to that?
Yeah, I'd move that.
Hang on. Get Greg, just give us a background to it.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just want to say there's no reason why we can't increase it, but at this stage, the school hasn't been asking for anything more. It's generally for book giving prizes and the like, and I'm sure if the need was there, they would ask us. And I just wanted to remind council that our budgets are tight, so we should be careful with what we're offering up if it's not being asked for.
As you said, Councillor Carter, it's been like that since 2000.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate that too, but sometimes I think when nothing's been offered, they have a tendency not to ask too. But the schools still go around asking the business house, which in the case of me, and there's getting less and less businesses that can contribute. I think it would be seen favoured by the community that we'd increase it. Like I said, from 2017 until now, surely we could increase it, even $125 or something, just a good gesture.
All right. Anyone else feel about that?
Yeah, I suppose. Why not?
Do you want to move? Would you like to move, Councillor Harris?
I'll just make the comment. We did discuss this issue during the strategic briefing session, and at the time, the general consensus was to what we've got the recommendation in front of us. And I think considering our budgetary constraints, I know it's only a little bit of money, but every little bit adds up in time if we continue to increase things. We all want to be, and I'm included, you know, we'd love to be giving a lot more money to a lot more people, but, you know, we've got to be responsible with this budget. And that's just my feeling. That's the way I won't support the increase, but I understand the reasons behind it, though.
Louise?
Whilst I appreciate the motion moved by Councillor Carter, I feel that local schools' external funding has potentially increased over that time as well to subsidise those increases.
They've been actually covered by...
Yeah. I'm not completely covered, but I would anticipate the need for the extra $25 wouldn't be there. Would be well received and grateful because you don't say no to donations, but I feel like it won't make or break.
All right.
Well, can I just make a comment as well, with probably supporting Councillor Carter, is maybe with these donations, we should annual ones, we should look at giving inflation in the CPI increase every so often.
Well, I think the other side of it too, Councillor Brady, is that when we get around the budget time and that sort of thing, this is something we do know that we will be paying out and that sort of thing, we should take it into consideration for making maybe a rise next in the upcoming budget and to talk about it then. Because it sounds like that the $100, which we, Councillor Harris did say, we have had discussed in strategic briefing, and that would make it across the board, then that would cover it. Remember that, Councillor Carter?
Well, I'll just include that in my closer debate by saying, as far as I'm concerned, a bit lousy if Councillor could be perceived by the general public as being really lousy, miserable indeed, because if we haven't given an increase or offered an increase in 2017, I just think it's petty personally, and I do not understand for one reason why any council would object to at least going, as Councillor Brady suggested, even with CPI, which is, I guess, what I was sort of aiming at when I mentioned 2017 to current days. You're talking a five-year period, there's been no increase at all, no offer. I just reiterate that I think it could be perceived by the general public as being downright lousy of councillors. We need to encourage the youth. We need to encourage that sort of participation activities at school, and it gives the kids a bit of reward. And like I say, there's less and less small business that can contribute nowadays. A lot of them gone bust over COVID and current days. So I just don't think it would hurt to give a little bit more back.
Would you like to move an amendment?
Oh, that's fine.
Move it, and I'll second it.
Right. Yeah.
You want to move an amendment? You don't?
I'm just closing the debate. Let's just leave it. That's right.
You don't want to move an amendment to 125? All right, all those in favour?
All right.
Those against? All right, that's carried. All right, that's the end of the donations. Right, moving on to page 65, the quarterly budget review for for 2023. Someone like to move the recommendation?
I move it, Mr. Mayor.
So Harris, second.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, no, Councillor Mortimer.
Okay, there you go.
Councillor Mortimer. All right. You want anything to say there about, you know, it's as written, so is there any questions on the quarterly budget review? If not, all those in favour?
Right.
Those against, those carried. And thank you very much, Karen, and your staff for putting that together. All right, now 9.3 to page 68, amended section 7.12 contribution plan. Would someone like to move the recommendation?
I'll move that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Brady.
Second.
Councillor Carter. All right, you got anything to say about that, Jono?
No. Happy to take any questions.
All right, any questions? If not, no questions. Those in favour?
Oh, sorry, I've got a question.
Yes, Councillor Blewett.
Look, sorry, forgive me if the question is a little bit out there. With the percentages, is that just for council DAs or is that for public DAs as well, like for everyone, community DAs?
Yeah, John Gilletto, can you answer that?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. It's for community DAs. So in a lot of cases, there are exemptions under the policy for council applications if we deem that we meet those exemptions.
Right, that answers your question, Councillor Blewett?
Yes, thank you.
If there's no further questions, all those in favour? Those against? That's carried. I'm not hearing too many yeses and noes. I'm making assumptions. All right, moving on to page 73, 9.3, development data for October 2022. Would someone like to move the recommendation? Yes. Councillor Carter, second up.
Yep.
Okay. Councillor Brady. All right. Any questions on the development data?
Yep.
Councillor Reese.
I just had a question about the bus depot for Lake Angelico. Is that a typo for the $3,000 or is that just the installation of like a bus stop, like a depot, I think, somewhere big where you park all your buses?
Jono?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there's some really minor works associated with that. The infrastructure was already there to accommodate it.
Can I also ask about the school installation?
That's my next question.
in William Street, is there any reason why it's in William Street and not in Molong Street?
Not through you, Mr. Mayor, that's a question for the school as to why they wanted to put it there.
Well, the entrance to the school is in Molong Street or in Orange Street.
As to where the sign's actually located, that's the address of the school. So,
which school is it?
Well, that's right. I also, that actually, 7 William Street. Is it the primary school?
Which school is it, John?
Just looking it up.
Bryce, what is it?
I don't know. Well,
Bryce is at the back there. You might be
I'm on bus.
You know Bryce?
Catholic school?
Primary school.
Primary school.
Catholic primary school.
Catholic primary school.
The addressing is for the legal address, whether
it's
the primary or secondary.
Okay.
Catholic school.
So the sign's on Molong Street, Bryce.
One replaces the existing sign that goes from a non-illuminated sign to illuminated signs.
Oh, okay. They're getting one of those fancy ones.
How's it 27 there? Because 66 is on the other side of the street. I don't know how they get to 27.
I'm bringing the other side up St. Joseph's Primary School.
Yeah. Is that right, 27?
27.
Okay.
Back in the middle of it.
Right.
All right.
I didn't.
They're getting a flash new sign.
Yeah, good on them.
Good on them.
What it's all about, modernising the world.
I'll have to have a look.
Questions on the data?
Just one, Mr. Mayor, construction of rural. What's the rural building workshop? What's that? It's just a shed, is it?
Hello. You get that question?
Yes. Yep. Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes.
What is it?
A shed.
Not the construction of a rural building workshop.
Up in McGregor Street.
What's it, just a shed?
I believe so. Yep.
fancy name.
Fancy question?
I don't know. I just want to say something like it could be angle grinders working at midnight or something. I don't know. It's just a shed to park your car in Norma. I'm just curious. That was all.
Yeah, 12 McGregor Street. That's one of the two.
Improves.
You haven't got any more detail, John?
Not unless Bryce wants to add anything on it.
The glass swimming pool going in somewhere.
Right. Any more questions on the data? If not, all those in favour.
All right.
As against, that is carried. Right down to 9.33 proposed rezoning amendment of the minimum lot size.
To me,
second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Harrison, Councillor Brady, by the look of it. Right. You want to say any more on it, John O, or is that as written?
No, as written. I think I've spoken to each of the councillors and explained what's happening there. So, happy to take any question.
Yeah, they all understand what's happening, I think.
Just like when the government wants it done, we get to do it straight away.
Yeah, Mr. Megan, I just thank John for making the phone calls around. I believe he rang all the councillors, but he certainly explained the situation. It's a bit hard to understand a lot of it on paper, but gave a good explanation. Thanks, John.
Yeah. Councillor Carter. That's good. So, if there's no more questions, all those in favour?
Aye.
As against, that is carried. Was that the end of it?
9.7, page 79, but there's no infrastructure services.
Oh, no infrastructure services report. Well done.
You're all
must be doing something else.
Read a note in cloud in yeah, closed
yep.
council.
Yep. Well done. Thanks, Adrian. All right, now we go to page 79. Deputations. I think we've got any deputations. Nil. Notice of motions. Nil. Notice of rescission motions. Nil. And delegates reports. Has anybody been anywhere? I think I've been to a couple of places in the last. I've got a
bit out of condo yet.
What's that?
I haven't been out of condo yet. you lot keep closing the road.
General manager and I did go to the roads congress in Hobart.
Ah, you must have been able to get out before rain.
We didn't talk too much about roads, though. It was more to do with infrastructure and that sort of thing. And it wasn't quite as many people there as I thought there would have been. I think the only thing did come out of it, though, was that the New South Wales delegates put together a media release to the state government the road situation and coming from the local government, New South Wales, would say, followed up. And what's they're advocating for us
this morning.
Yeah. That was back in the mayoral minute, and which I think was pretty important. But any other thing, do you want anything else to say, Greg?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The previous conferences that I've been to have dealt a lot with funding and backlog of infrastructure issues. Or policy matters surrounding roads and transport infrastructure. There wasn't so much that this time, and as the Mayor mentioned, numbers were down, and that was in part to do with local government elections in Tasmania, where I think they were expecting a lot more support. There was a number of presentations around new technologies in road maintenance, or what was being presented as new technologies in road maintenance, but... In my mind, the sessions that I sat through, they were rebadging some older technology and introducing it as new. There were some very good sessions on electric vehicles and the future of the transport industry and transition to hydrogen fuel cell. And the suggestion was made that we won't just be electric, because particularly in relation to transport and heavy vehicles, the presenter was a senior representative of Hyundai. And he said that business, which has some very significant heavy industry production and vehicles, the only thing they don't make is trains, I think he said, they're looking at hydrogen fuel cells. And he was encouraging anybody that's putting in EV charging stations to also include facilities for hydrogen. So they were probably the main points that I took out of it.
Actually, the presenter on the hydrogen and electric cars, he did an excellent job of explaining, especially the hydrogen side of which mainly comes in on heavy vehicles. And it seems like that will be the future, I think, and also a safer.
They still haven't got a completely
No, but the,
it's got a while to go before it actually will.
Yeah, and the other side of it too, like the vehicles won't be as heavy because of the batteries, you know, whole stack, and the hydrogen juice, it's got three cylinders at the back type thing, and not as, you know, if it's a hydrogen electric car, well, it's a different thing altogether. No, that was a very, very good presentation. But it's a long way down there and a long way back.
It's pretty though.
There was also a presenter there who spoke about he was an economist and a planner, and he was talking about the future of transport and the way local government was funded. And I don't know whether he was pandering to the audience, but I didn't get that opinion. He was a lot of the things that the industry is saying about how state and federal governments are funding us and the difficulties it's causing for local government were supported by him. The fact that they've reduced funding through the federal assistance grants from 1% of GDP, 1% of taxation rather, down to 0.53%, I think it is now, and the need for that to be restored in order to catch up with the backlog and meet the future maintenance needs. So his was another very good presentation.
All right. And the other meeting we went to last Friday was the country mayor's meeting in Sydney. And that was also an AGM. And we were supposed to have had the Premier and Steph Cook at that meeting, but all of a sudden they ended up in Yagara for some unknown reason, and I think they were actually... The Premier was actually at Yagara again yesterday too, I think, with Albanese.
I was the Prime Minister
down there. But I think the main thing that came out of the country mayors is it was the road situation again, for advocating for that. And also we had a presentation from IPART, from the head of IPART, with the submissions that are going in to review IPART. And I think that, I think the biggest thing is we're just hoping they'll catch up with what is actually going on in regional New South Wales, and especially with the expenses and whether it's wage rises or just general costs of things. But their program is to do a review and have it actually published by May with public submissions and that sort of thing going with that. And one question that did come up though was making sure that whatever the review comes out and what percentage they get, we can put it in our budget. Don't bring it out in July or August or something like that, which could quite easily happen down the track. So, and also it was an annual general meeting as well, and Ken Keith actually stepped down as chair, and the Gunnedah mayor, Gunnedah mayor
Jamie Chaffey,
has taken on, and Rick Furman from the Tamora mayor, he's the is the deputy, and. I think all the incumbent executive are back on. That was including myself, and we had one new person was the mayor of Armidale. I think his name is Jamie Copeland. I think his name is, and he's the new one on there. He's only new on council and also new as a new mayor. So that everybody else got back, and I think we're under Jamie's leadership, I think there's going to be a little bit more work going on, especially with the state elections coming up, organising roundtables with opposition and the local government, somewhere after Christmas to get a feel and get our priorities across to them, see what happens from out of that. So it's going to be a bit of a busy time, I think, around, because the election is the 25th of March, I think it is, and we'll see how we go from there. But, I think the country mayors is certainly gaining ground. I think there's something like 75 or 78 councils now members of country mayors, and especially after the local government conference, with the way the votes and that sort of thing went in the conference, because the city councils seem to have a little bit of an edge when it comes to the green vote, and they're pretty well organised, and some of those votes were that close, like in the regional.
But what are we setting up? Another Shires Association under another name, really.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. And the other thing is the local government of New South Wales is also doing more work for regional New South Wales than it does for the city. They don't hear from the city people, city councils, but they hear from all the regionals. and they prefer to work with them anyway. I suppose with Daria being the president, that sort of helps that a little bit. And they will be doing a visit here sometime early in the new year. See if we can. All right. No other delegates?
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Councillor.
I fully intended to put in a written report on the book about the local government in South Wales annual conference, but unfortunately, having been living in a motel for the last week, and prior to that, been very busy doing other things with preparations with flooding, I just haven't had a chance to
put a report together,
get to my computer and printer. So I apologise for that, but I still want to submit one hopefully for the next council meeting prior.
Thank you, Councillor House. Now, General Manager, want to make a comment?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. For those councillors that might have missed it, Caroline was very helpful and prepared a draft template, which was emailed to all of the councillors, which sets out in fairly simple form how you can put in a delegate's report, a written delegate's report. If you need another copy of that template, then please contact Carol and myself and we'll provide it. But it should make the job much easier for you in when it comes time to do.
Where you've been and how you've been and what you got out of it. That's sounds like a good initiative. All right. Moving right along. Down to page 80, 14 correspondence. Does someone like to move the correspondence?
I move it.
Councillor Carter, was it?
Yeah.
Second up.
Yep.
Councillor Harris. All right. We need to want to have theirs. There's Wendy Tuckerman, Kevin Anderson, and the MDA. Murray Darling, motion progress on library funding. Is there anything to talk about there?
I want to comment. I'd like to make.
Yep.
Yep. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just in relation to the letter from Kevin Anderson, MP, about the water funding models, I'd just like to point out, well, that's addressed to the joint organisation and Councillor Kevin Beattie. It's a direct result of the advocacy that the Mayor has been making in relation to that issue, and we were fortunate that the JO picked up the cause and started rattling the cage with us, and at least the department is now recognising that there are problems with the current funding model and looking at how they can be changed to assist councils in our situation with large networks and small numbers of consumers.
Yeah, those statements to say, well, Leanne Smith just showed on the board there, they're just not keeping up. All right, any other questions?
Small councils are the ones who are actually suffering.
Yeah. Especially number of connections you've got.
Yeah, well, they say you need a minimum of 4,000 when we have a chance.
Makes it very difficult, especially with the old infrastructure we've got.
Yeah. Then you get going further west, you're going to have a big problem.
All right. All those in favour? Yep. As against, that's carried. Questions which notice has been given. Have a look at that. And there is no petitions. Right. You want to have a little break before we go into closed session or
after?
Or after. Yeah. We'll move in and then there. So would someone like to move in the closed session?
Yeah, okay. All right.
The reason why we should have Councillor Brady seconded Councillor Harris. All those in favour? All right, I'll just have a couple of minute break. All right, now the recommendations now that have come out of closed session. The first one, 17.1, appointment of audit and risk improvement committee independent member. And it was moved by Councillor Harris, seconded by Councillor Phillips, that council resolved to appoint Robert Hunt for a 4-year from 1st of December 2022, subject to legislative changes and a satisfactory performance review after 2 years. Council resolves to delegate authority to the General Manager and the Mayor to appoint Sean Rowe to the 30th of June 2024, subject to satisfactory reference check, and that was carried. Now, 17.2, proposed debt recovery assessment number 100195, it was moved to Councillor Brady, seconded Councillor Harris, that we defer the consideration to the December 2022 council meeting, and that was carried. Right, 17.3, sale of land for unpaid rates under section 1713 of the Local Government Act 1993. It was moved, Councillor Brady, seconded Councillor Phillips, that the Director of Corporate and Community Service report R22359 be received and noted, and two, that the General Manager prepare the necessary certificates under section 713 of the Local Government Act 1993 in preparation for the forthcoming sale. Three, that the Council pursue the section 713 and other relevant sections of the Local Government Act 1993 to authorise the sale of procedures to sell the properties listed in the report at the public auction at the time and the place to be determined. Four, that the executive collections be appointed to the administrator for the sale on the council's behalf. Five, the council authorise the general manager and the executive collections to proceed with the necessary arrangements pertaining to the sale of the properties listed in the report as set out by the Local Government Act 1993 and the Local Government General Regulations 2021. Six, that the council delegate authority to the general manager to take the following actions pertaining to the properties specified in the report. A, to withdraw from sale any property that prior to the commencement of the auction has had all rates paid, rates and charges, including expenses of council incurred in connection with the sale, paid in full. B, to withdraw any property from the sale for technical or legal reasons. C, to set reserve prices for sale of properties at auction. D, to negotiate by private treaty and accept offers for sale of any property that fails to sell at auction. E, to execute sale and purchase contracts and property transfer documents under the council's common seal or by the general manager. That recommendation was carried. And Councillor Blewett voted against that recommendation. Now, 17.4, Tottenham Caravan Park, can use of dwelling for accommodation. It was moved by Councillor Harris and seconded Councillor Carter that one, the Director of Environment, Tourism and Economic Development report number R22-360 be received and noted. Two, an allocation of $20,000 from the existing 2022-23 budget building capital works budget unallocated to be approved for the maintenance and refurbishment of the dwelling at the Tottenham Caravan Park. Three, the proposed new fee for the casual rental of the dwelling at the Tottenham Caravan Park be placed on public exhibition for a period of no less than 28 days. And four, council authorised the mayor and the general manager to include the proposed new fee for the casual rental of the dwelling at the Tottenham Caravan Park in the current fees and charges after the expiry of the public exhibition period, provided no submissions to the fees received during the public exhibition period, and that was carried. Now, 17.5, Albert Golf Club Assessment 104-3090, outcome of request for non-rateable status. And the recommendation is that the Director of Corporate and Community Service report number R22-362 be received and noted. Two, that the Council resolves to declare Albert Golf Club Assessment 104-3090 as non-rateable in the compliance with the section of 556-1-B of the Local Government Act New South Wales 1993 from the 2017-2018 financial year. And three, write-off ordinary rate charges only amounting to $15,930.16, and that was carried. Next report is 17.6, ARIC minutes, February and June 2022 meeting. And that was moved Councillor Rees, seconded Councillor Phillips, that one, the Director of Corporate and Community Services report R22-370 be received and noted. And two, the minutes of the Audit and Risk Improvement Committee ARIC meeting held on the 9th of February 2022 be confirmed, and the 8th of June 2022 unconfirmed be received and noted, and that was carried. Report number 17.7, Interim Audit Management Letter of 2022, and it was moved Councillor Harris, seconded Councillor Brady, that one, the Director of Corporate and Community Services report number R22-385 be received and noted, and two, that the Interim Audit Management Letter and associated comments for the financial year ended the 30th of June 2022 be noted. That was carried. And the final one, I think it is, 17.8, Tender Negotiation Scott Street Upgrade. And it was moved, Councillor Rees, seconded Councillor Phillips, on the Director of Infrastructure Service report number R22-389, be received and noted. and two, council resolved to accept the revised tender from
Telstra
Proprietary Limited. Three, the mayor and the general manager be authorised to execute the contract document and affix the council seal, and that was carried. And that was the end of the closed session. And I now declare the Lachlan Shire Council meeting for November closed.